Hi, and welcome to the Revenue Roundtable. Thank you for joining today. This podcast is designed to provide you insight, motivation, proven ideas from your colleagues in the industry. This is John Cook, host. Engage, listen, and learn with me. Good morning, Jeff Weger. Glad to have you here with us today. And Jeff, of course, is with the North Carolina Healthcare Association. And Jeff and I have been friends and colleagues for a long time, so it's always good to talk with you, Jeff.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me back.
It's always good to see you, even in the midst of this COVID.
Likewise.
I'm going to ask you one question, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask this.
All right.
What was your most difficult moment in COVID? I mean, this can be personal, professional.
I think that my most difficult moment was mentally preparing myself for what, you know, the new normal looks like.
Yeah.
For not just a couple of weeks, but months at a time. You know, the anxiety of the unknown as to, you know, are my kids going to go back to school? Am I going to go back to work? You know, are folks going to have a job
in the coming months?
Am I going to get sick? You know, it's there's a tremendous amount of angst out there here over the last 6 months. And I think to some degree, folks have gotten used to that. But at the same time, there remains a lot of anxiety out there that, you know, we see on social media or on the news or whatever it may be.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to share mine.
Sure.
And this is true. This is very true. The word extrovert pandemic does not go in the same sentence. It just doesn't. You know, I'm an extrovert, and it literally killed me.
Yeah, there was a friend of mine who's very extroverted, and he said just the loneliness.
Oh yeah,
of it all is very difficult to work through.
It was a job. A job to get through that.
How are you managing now, though?
Well, you know, I can go to Cracker Barrel and eat.
Mm-hmm.
We had we finally had an outside worship service at church, which was really good, but you really couldn't hug people. Right. But I'm doing good, you know.
Good.
As much as I hate to go to Walmart, it's looking pretty good now.
It doesn't look so bad, right?
No, it don't. It really doesn't. So professionally, what do you think has been your greatest challenge to the pandemic?
You know, going back into it, I think that worried about the financial health of our providers during the pandemic to make sure that they're able to provide care to those in need, including those who may be affected by COVID.
Yeah.
You know, look from someone's perspective where I look at finances and, you know, operating margins and all that on a daily basis, basically, the impact that could have on patient care really, really struck home for me. And we really took a lot of responsibility for making sure that our member hospitals and health systems were able to continue to deliver care to the communities during this, you know, state of emergency.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That was our primary focus, and a lot of stress there and a lot of unknowns and sleepless nights. But, you know, luckily in North Carolina, we haven't had any of our members that have actually had to close the doors during the pandemic. So, you know, kudos to them for addressing the needs. And
absolutely,
you know, to some folks who've stepped up, you know, to financially secure the healthcare system.
Is that still your greatest challenges? Or your, you know, like dealing with the extrovert, you know, is it still your challenge or are your challenges changing some?
I think it's still a challenge, but, you know, if I'm if I'm thinking about what healthcare looks like in the future, I think that many of our leaders are going to have to change the way that they've traditionally operated their business.
Yeah.
So, you know, things such as telehealth. I mean, my goodness, I had a, you know, infection on my leg form just from an open wound a couple weeks ago. And you know, I just telehealthed it, paid $30, and the prescription for antibiotics was there, you know, 20 minutes later. It was fabulous. And, you know, I didn't have to worry about billing through insurance and what was allowable or denied or anything else. Just a streamlined process that was fabulous. And I think that the general public's going to expect that, you know, now, not just in the future, now.
Yeah.
I think that they're starting to expect that.
That's a very interesting concept. You know, I wonder, I've never had the opportunity to do that, but my wife has, and I had to go get lab work the other day, and I said, do I have my 6 months with him? And she said, oh, yeah, we'll do telehealth.
Yeah.
I thought, wow.
It's wonderful, especially for someone who has kids who get ear infections and snotty noses and everything else. You know, and then even things like having your medical records online rather than having to actually go to your physician's office. That's the expectation these days, I think.
That's really you're said. What is it? One of the larger, is it called the larger software? MyCharts.
Yeah. MyCharts. You know, that's the expectation. That I think if you can start to integrate your telehealth platform with that MyChart and you have, you know, on-demand care essentially, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. And it was funny. I was having a conversation with my neighbor, you know, just about these pandemics and how, you know, anytime there's been a struggle in our society, you know, historically, there's been substantial innovation that's ultimately resulted from that.
That's right.
And I think that this is another one of those opportunities where, you know, those who are innovative are going to end up, you know, being very successful, even in the healthcare space, is the care delivery and making sure that their patients are well taken care of.
Yeah. Jeff, it kind of reminds me, it reminds me vaguely, was very young then, but the polio virus and going to get the vaccine. And someone asked me the other day, I thought it was kind of interesting, said, so John, you're in healthcare. When this vaccine comes out, do we go line up at the elementary school and take a sugar cube? Which that's what we did.
Okay. Well,
you don't remember,
but I remember
there were public health nurses in their white uniforms and nurse's cap, and you just walked up and they gave you a sugar cube. It had a little spot on it, so obviously the vaccine was in there, and we took the polio vaccine.
Right.
And I remember, vaguely remember my parents being kind of worried about polio, and it was a stressful thing. And finally, you know, that we're beyond that.
Right.
And when my mother was in a nursing home, her roommate, we walked in one day and talked to mom, said, well, we're going to go somewhere. And she went, don't go, don't go. And I said, Miss Alma, what's wrong? She said, there's sickness. And it started in Banner's Elk, not Banner Elk, but it started in Banner's Elk. So don't go over there. And I got to thinking about it. She was going back to the polio, because I think in our area, Banner Elk is one of the hardest hit areas. But she said it started in Banner's Elk. So it was in minds of people.
I don't know. You know, I'm figuring that they're going to have a plan and a strategy to, you know, dole out the you know vaccine when it becomes available. But I guess I'm just glad that I'm not the one who has to make those decisions.
Yes. Yeah. But I still kind of get a vision of us
right
lined up.
Yep. And you know, I think a lot of folks are really looking forward to that day.
They are. They really are. So, you know, you've really answered this, but how do you see the delivery of healthcare post-COVID, post-pandemic?
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of touched on it already in which, you know, I think, you know, going into this pandemic, you know, I myself, I didn't know necessarily how to set up a GoToMeeting or a Teams meeting or a Zoom call or any of that. Going into this now, I'm a wily veteran, I guess, if you will.
Exactly.
You know, to the same degree, I think that people, as they look at these things and begin to say, hey, I can get care virtually,
yeah.
I think that that's going to be a huge market for folks. You know, I also think that there's going to be some reluctance by people to actually go into a doctor's office to get their You know, so, you know, even something as simple as getting a flu shot.
Yeah.
You know, are people going to be reluctant to go to their doctor or their local pharmacy to get that done? Again, the flu shot is something that is necessary every year.
And, of course.
And, you know, I'd highly encourage everyone to get. But, you know, at the same time, folks might be afraid that they're putting themselves at risk. So,
sure.
You know, there's this. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays itself out. But, you know, I think in the near term, at least, you know, folks are going to be a little hesitant to go in and, you know, and get care. And, you know, I can speak for myself that I've been due for an eye exam for, you know, the last 8 months now. And,
yes.
You know, I'm still kind of, you know, is that a truly pressing need at the moment?
Yeah.
Or
get your teeth cleaned.
Right. Now, I did get that done.
Yeah. But,
you know, just the you know, those little things that.
Sure.
You know, prior to COVID, you took for granted.
Yes. And I got to get an eye exam, too, and new glasses. But
right.
I'm really kind of afraid to do it.
Yeah.
I think it will change some to you maybe once the COVID is passed. Or, you know, there's folks, example. You know, I look back and think, thank God my parents passed before this, because
right.
I really don't think they could have navigated it.
Right.
And I'm thinking telemedicine for older people.
Yeah, could be a challenge, but, you know, folks generally adapt.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't. You know, I'm not sure what the world ends up looking like after this. So, you know, for example, you know, I've been working from home, you know, a number of days every week. And a lot of our staff with children here in Wake County, where the schools are virtual only.
Yes.
They got other responsibilities. So,
yes.
So, you know, we've made it our policy that, you know, if you need to work from home, work from home.
Yes.
Well, as a result of that, what I found is that productivity to some degree is higher than it was when we were all in the office. So the question is, what's the expectation going forward?
Yes.
Are people going to be expected to be in the office, you know, 9 to 5, 5 days a week in the future? Or, you know, our staff has proven that they, to some degree, can be even more productive, get their, you know, kids taken care of and their loved ones. And, you know, there's no decline in service. So
yeah,
what's the harm? You know, so I think these are the types of decisions that I think are going to be really interesting. And, you know, I personally just watching the millennial generation come up, and I guess they've been in the workforce here for some years now. But, you know, I could see many of them saying, well, you know, if I've proven that I can do my job effectively on my own terms and at home and in a comfortable manner, why do I need to go back to that? And
yes.
I don't necessarily disagree with them.
Yeah.
In that approach. So who knows what's going to happen? And, you know, again, are kids going to actually end up going back into school anytime soon? I think that it would be good if they did.
It would be. Yeah. But there's not.
Right. You know, we're going to have to make some important decisions here. And
I really, you know, my wife being a teacher, I really feel for the teachers and the parents, because this has really been hard to navigate for some parents. But with this productivity thing, it really, in our shop, it has not gone down. Right. And I feel like I'm even more productive.
Sure.
Maybe more because I'm wearing jeans or in my pajamas, but I am more, I'm just more productive.
And, you know, my kid, he just started kindergarten 3 weeks ago, and, you know, it's something else. You know, it is something else, and it's been challenging, and, you know, my wife's been helping him, you know, pretty much every step of the way, and I don't know how she does it every day, but she is, and she's doing a phenomenal job, but you know, it's been a challenge, you know, with the kids, but, you know, from my perspective too, you know, John, you and I were talking beforehand where, you know, I was telling you that just in the middle of the day, I had a little bit of a break and I just went on a couple mile run just to, you know, clear my head and whatnot. And man, I came back just, you know, firing on all cylinders after that.
Exactly. And exactly.
It was, you know, there's something to be said about that. Whereas, you know, if I'm in the office and, you know, I come back all sweaty and, you know, disgusting, then, you know, it may not be the most professional look in the world.
Absolutely. So, you know, I found I can go to a coffee shop now that they're open and sit down with a cup of coffee and my laptop and probably get more done in that hour than I would do in 4 hours.
Right.
I'm just not as much distracted.
Right.
Well, what do you think if you were able to say what's the most important thing, and this is the most important thing that you've learned through this, and you may have answered that a little bit, but is there something that sticks out?
Yeah. Not necessarily proud of this, but, you know, at times I probably focused a little bit too much on my career and probably not enough on my family. And, you know, just being home with them on a day-to-day basis and enjoying the little things in life, whether it be, you know, having lunch with my son, you know, watching my daughter, you know, learn to count and grow.
Yeah,
She's three, and you know, watching her, you know, her language skills being able to develop, and then, you know, spending a little bit more time with my wife and probably working a little bit more as a team. It's invaluable, and you know, I am very cognizant that, you know, I'm a better husband and a better father today than I was 6 months ago, and, you know, I got to be disciplined enough in myself to make sure that I don't fall back into that trap.
Exactly.
Because that, you know, that's what's important.
I guess that's really somewhat the same importance level for me. I have been able to reach out to people, whether it's a text or a quick phone call or an email to so many people. And it's kind of like restoring some old friendships.
Yep.
So it is a good thing.
It is. And, you know, just whether it be just the concern that you have for others. And there's folks that I've talked to that I haven't talked to in quite some time. And, you know, I'm not on social media, so I don't have that opportunity to connect with folks. But just, you know, phone calls, text messages, emails. It's been wonderful.
You got to understand that social media can be mean sometimes, I thought. Wow, you said that.
Yeah, I see a lot of the bad things that come out of social media.
Yes.
That, you know, people oftentimes, you know, show their worst.
Yeah.
You know, when they're hiding behind a screen, and just not really something that ever interested me.
No, I can understand that. Let me ask you one last question, and I asked you this question the first podcast I did with you last year, pre-COVID, was how do you lead? But I'm going to ask it a little differently. Do you lead any differently now than you did last year?
I think so. You know, first and foremost, just because I think I'm a little bit more understanding.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, leading into COVID, probably borderline, you know, workaholic, you know, just, you know, spent entirely too much time at the office and sure. not enough time on the things that matter. And, you know, as I've had to immerse myself into the day to day and the, you know, the little things that make our household run.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very sympathetic and, you know, not sympathetic, but empathetic for those who, you know, those single parents or those, you know, folks who may not have anybody, to work with and they have to do it all on their own. So, you know, it's been really eye opening and, yeah. and, you know, I think I'm a better leader for it
good.
Because I can better
yeah,
understand.
Yeah, I agree. So. I agree. Well, you're looking good and you look happy. So as we sit here in front of each other,
I am
and happy. I'm glad you are. And I'm glad to be here.
And I'm glad we got to speak if for no other reason than the fact that, you know, you being such an extrovert, you know, hopefully this, you know, relieves some of your anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. I checked into the hotel last night and I was just speaking to people in the lobby and they're like, you're too nice.
Uh-huh.
It's right. just, but
no such thing as being too nice.
That's
as far
right.
as I'm concerned.
I believe engaging with people, and if you have the opportunity, do it because you'll be a better person from it. Jeff, thank you, my friend. And
thanks,
John. We will be back next year, maybe.
Hope so.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I would love to hear your comments or ideas. Feel free to reach out to me at jcook@revcosolutions.com.